Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We're one church in multiple locations. We have campuses in Cabot, Benton, soon to be Midtown, West Little Rock, and our Espanol campus here on the Little Rock campus as well. My name is Dan Schaefer, and it's good to be with you today. I'm here with my Fellowship Talks co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing today, Amy?
I'm great.
Man, it's been a long summer, a fast summer. I can't believe it's the end of July already.
I know. I really can't either. And it's been such a fun summer. You know, the summertime is really when we have a lot of new people moving to Little Rock, looking for a church home, connecting. And it's just been a lot of fun to meet new people. And, you know, I work in the young adult ministry, and it's been really fun. We've had some events this summer for our young adults.
Yeah.
We had a trivia night.
The trivia night went over really well. I heard great stories about that.
It did. It did. It was just fun to look around the tables and see people connecting, see new people getting to know one another, that sort of thing.
And the idea was after trivia night for a bunch of groups to go out to dinner together and get to know each other even more, right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
And then we had the Travs game where we went and just hung out, watched a game together. So we're just looking for ways to connect people, and then from there, hopefully introducing them into our D groups.
That's right. And a lot of times I think in the church world, we talk about things slowing down in the summer, but they really haven't slowed down.
Oh,
people are going on vacations and going all over the place. But this is also a time for a lot of new people to come in and get to know Fellowship. So if you're listening to Fellowship Talks for the first time, it's good to have you here with us. We just want to say thanks for listening.
That's
And learning more about Fellowship through this podcast. It's good to have you with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm helping a lot of new people connect with D groups right now. And it's just a lot of fun. And speaking of D groups, we want to just quickly promote the Leader Launch that we have coming up on August 26th. Leader Launch is an opportunity for all D group leaders to come together and to focus on the mission and the values and the vision for where we want D groups to go over the next year. So if you're a D group leader listening to this, make sure you get registered for Leader Launch on August 26th.
Yeah, and if you've been before, you know this is always a really great time together, so you won't want to miss out.
You know, Amy, we're also coming to the end of our first year of Fellowship Talks.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah, we're 35 episodes into Fellowship Talks now. We've done 35 episodes, and we know people are listening out there because we're getting comments. I heard that the intro to our podcast, Michelle Yonkman, who welcomes everybody and then dismisses everybody when the podcast is over, she went through Chick-fil-A, and the person recognized her because of listening to Fellowship Talks.
That's so great. I love it. I love
it. And people are recognizing you and your voice,
That's
too.
That's right. It's, yes.
People are still confused over how to say your last name.
Well, I know. I am, too.
Yeah. Michelle says it one way. I say it another way.
Yeah.
And you say it the right way.
No, I go back and forth, and I still get corrected by Greek people. So I don't say it correctly, but...
Well, here at Fellowship Talks, we have some exciting news because we have brand new t-shirts, and you guys can't see it out there in podcast land, but I'm holding it up and Amy can see it. These t-shirts look great. It's got our new logo on it that we're taking into the new 2018 season. You've probably seen me wearing it around on Sunday mornings. Amy's going to be wearing hers. These t-shirts are for everybody who comes on the podcast. If you come share a story of what God's doing in your life on the podcast, you get a t-shirt for free. And if you are scared to come on the podcast, you can pay us $15 for a t-shirt.
That's right.
That works too. Yes. $15 for a t-shirt. And, you know.
They really are good, soft t-shirts, I just have to say.
These are really good. They're super soft. I loved wearing it.
Yep.
All right. So, Amy, today we have a guest with us today who's here to share her story about what God has been doing in her life and how God worked in her D group over the last year. I want to welcome Molly Bloom to Fellowship Talks. Welcome, Molly. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Molly, it's so fun having you here. Why don't you just start off and tell us a little bit about you and about your family, just so we can kind of get to know who you are.
Well, Fellowship has known me since my birth because my grandparents were here at the start, and then my parents met in youth group when they were 14 and have been together since.
Aww.
And now me and my husband, who met at JBU, we're here at Fellowship, and so are our children. So
and,
we are.
And your husband's name is?
Logan Bloom. You would know him as the blue guitarist with blonde hair and blue eyes in the worship center.
He hey, is Logan. Blue or his guitar is blue?
His guitar is blue. Okay, guys.
He's not a Smurf.
He is happy. He's joyful.
Just want to clarify.
Yeah. So you've been coming to Fellowship your whole life.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And Logan and I, we have two children. We have a son going into first grade. He's 7 and a daughter going into kindergarten who's 5. And we've been a foster family to a newborn girl and newborn boy so far. And we're about to open again for around pre-K age.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And pre-show, you were telling us that you graduated from John Brown University in Siloam Springs.
Yes.
And you just got accepted to the John Brown Counseling Program in Little Rock, and you'll be starting here in the fall.
Yes, graduate counseling. Miracles happen. I got in.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm actually already a part of that program, so it's good to have you. And awesome. I'm excited to have you join us, Sarah, John Brown University Little Rock Counseling.
Great.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your D group this last year.
Well, Catherine Mack, many people know of her as someone on the women's ministry staff here, but I know of her as a friend. And I love what God is doing in her life. And I said, hey, Catherine, whatever you're doing this year, count me in, whatever it is. And she sat down with me and said, God has put on my heart to start a group for people who may not be coming to church on their own for a lot of reasons, but partly just feeling uncomfortable coming through the doors. And we wanted a group that would make personal relationships build with people that are new to faith, aren't even a part of the faith, and just really have our arms open to go through the book of John with them.
Yeah, that really goes with our mission here at Fellowship of making disciples, but an emphasis of our mission of going after the one, right?
That's right.
And trying to reach out to people, connect with people who aren't in our church already, who aren't even maybe of our faith, and just sharing the love of Jesus with them.
Yeah. So was it just you and Catherine, or did y'all start with more people than that from Fellowship?
There were 4 leaders. It was Catherine Mack, Catherine Knox, Mallory Williams, Anna Taylor, and Molly Bloom. We started the group together.
That's okay. Great. Yeah. So that's great. So you all kind of talked about like, this is going to be the way we're going to establish our group is we want to reach out to people who would not normally show up at church. And that's going to be kind of the focus of our group.
Yes. And we were saying we want to get uncomfortable. We want to get out there and be unshocked and uncomfortable to love the one who may not be comfortable yet in a church setting.
So who did you invite?
Well, I actually invited one of the birth moms from our first foster daughter, and as we were taking care of her, I really got to know her family and especially her birth mom. Mm. And at the time, she was a self-proclaimed Satanist, and so was the father figure. And I thought, Lord, okay, how do I handle this? But he just showed me how to love in a way that I never have before. And something that was intimidating actually became really freeing to love somebody that thought so differently.
Yeah, what does that mean? God showed you how to love differently. What does that look like practically with someone who is telling you that they believe completely the opposite of you?
I think I just look back at the stories where Jesus saw people in places that, you know, were unspeakable or doing things that obviously were not right. But he never seemed shocked. He just went after people where they were at. He spoke truth. He spoke love. He didn't back down on what he believed. But at the same time, he just had a comfort with loving people wherever they were at. So I really prayed, Jesus, what would you do right now talking to this person? And went through the Gospels a lot.
Yeah. So how did you first approach her about coming and being a part of this group with you?
Interestingly, she begged me to come. So that's the Lord too. I have to admit, and I want to be honest here, that I was nervous to bring her to church. I think my own insecurities and intimidations kept me from inviting her on my own. And for that, I, you know, say, Lord, forgive me. But what's really neat is that we had known each other already a year and a half before she came to church. And but she had seen something in me and said, I want that. I want whatever you have because you love me and you see me when other people have not. And I love to tell her, God loves you and sees you.
Mm-hmm. And, has anybody ever said that to you before? I want what you have?
Sorry. Yes. For
okay.
Sure.
So how does that feel when you hear that?
It feels really good because I know that God's Spirit is alive and active in me. Mm. And then when I ask Him, do your will through me, He will. Mm-hmm. And other people, even if you don't say, hey, this is Jesus inside of me, mm-hmm. they see something pure looking back at them that they haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. And so it just gives me a lot of faith. It humbles me mm-hmm. because I think of all of my insecurities and weaknesses and the way that God, in those moments that I needed to be like Him, even when I was emotional, you know, mm-hmm. being a foster parent's really hard because you love the children, but you also love the families mm-hmm. and you're kind of split between the two. So God always helped me stay calm. And I just, anyway, it humbles me, builds my mm-hmm. faith that His Spirit shines through.
Mm-hmm. So she came to you, to your women's group with you.
Yes. Yes. So she had begged me for about 6 months to come to church. And mm-hmm. it wasn't until Catherine told me about the small group that I thought, okay, this is going to be a really good introduction to the faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was that first time that she came to your group like?
I had let my group know that she might be nervous or intimidated to be in a, she had told me that, mm-hmm. but she came and she didn't really say a lot, mm-hmm. but we just loved having her there, and she's partially blind, so she couldn't really read the Bible. In small groups, when we were writing out truths from John, we just went one-on-one, and I spoke it out loud and talked about the truths out loud, and what was really neat is that at the end of the day, she actually had really amazing wisdom to give, and it was that Jesus loves anyone, anywhere, wherever they're at, even me. And that was just really beautiful.
I think that really is beautiful. And I think it's what's so beautiful about that, too, is that she saw that because of the way that you loved her. She saw that Jesus loved her. Mm-hmm. And as you got into the Word, she started seeing that more. And that really is just so neat.
Yeah. One thing I heard that you said, Molly, was that you had a relationship with her already for about a year and a half or so before you invited her in. So it wasn't like you just went out, met this lady and said, hey, come to church with me. You had already been building a relationship with her and building a friendship with her. And it was just a natural connection of when Catherine and Mallory mm-hmm. challenge you to invite someone different to the group that doesn't come to our church. Mm-hmm. You knew exactly who you're going to invite because you already had a friendship with her.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And what's really neat too is that, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be this intense of a relationship. There are relationships in our life that God is working. And you may not know how or, I mean, I did not know that we would stay in a relationship after her daughter went to her grandparents. Mm-hmm. So actually our relationship became stronger. And that's something I didn't expect and that I have loved.
So after this first meeting that she came and visited, how much longer did she continue to come with you?
She came all year.
Okay.
We met off campus. We were able to drop our kids off if we needed to. And then we would meet at coffee shops nearby. And I wanted to pinpoint on the relationship, though, mm-hmm. because something really neat about it was even though she didn't pray to God, she did pray when her daughter went into care that he would guard her and protect her. And she said that God put her daughter in an angel's arms. And I told her, I'm not an angel, but he did, you know, put her in a home that loved her and took care of her. And she said that when God answered that prayer, she started to believe in Him.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting because I have a friend who tells me that he's an atheist, but he's very willing for me to pray with him and for him. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've learned that is even if people don't put their trust in Jesus the way that we do, a lot of times they're open to prayer.
Yes.
And not exactly knowing what that means. But we know what that means. We know we have this direct connection with God through Jesus and that we can come to Him with prayer and that we walk up to the throne of God and we can mm-hmm. ask Him for all kinds of things, even for people like my friend or like your friend mm-hmm. to come to know Jesus in a more intimate way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the prayer there is that as people are praying and maybe they don't even really understand what they're doing there, that their faith starts to take root because they see that God is answering prayer mm-hmm. and He becomes more real to them and they recognize that they can have that relationship with
yes.
Him.
Yeah.
So this lady, she started coming on Sundays a little bit too, to the worship services mm-hmm. on Sunday. What did that look like?
You know, it looked like it took a village. My small group and their husbands, we met You know, we met them at the door, we had breakfast, and she really loved the worship center. Mm. And her daughter had gone there the whole time, you know, that she had been in my care. Mm. And she said, I feel a little bit closer to her because she was here.
Okay.
And she just really loved it. She said she felt at a big church, there was even more of God because of all of these believers.
Yeah.
Which I thought was beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, what were some of the challenging things for you and for your group in going after and inviting people who aren't normally in church?
I think one of the hardest things is that life outside our area looks very different. And we think, okay, we need to go across seas to see certain living conditions or people, you know, living in a much different way. Mm-hmm. But really, it takes about 10 minutes over the bridge to get to situations that are like a mission field in another country sometimes. So I think just figuring out a way to fill in the gaps, to not see the outer appearance like God doesn't, you know, and just see people for how God sees them, no matter how dirty or different, whether it be religion or, you know, all those things.
Yeah, lifestyle choices, any of those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the difficult things was when your friend walked into Fellowship, she didn't look like the rest of us here at Fellowship.
No.
But your group came around and still welcomed her and encouraged her to be here.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They were a village for me and for her, which was beautiful.
And that's a challenge to all D groups here. Mm-hmm. When we reach out and we get to know people, it's okay to bring people to our church that don't look, feel, smell, or act like us. It's okay because we want them to know who Jesus is. Amy, I was talking with an elder here recently who was telling me about their new D group strategy for this coming fall. And they said they had 9 couples in their group, but they have plenty of room for more people. They have a bigger house and they have plenty of room. So he's challenging every couple to bring a new couple to the group. He's like, we have 9 couples. I want to see 18 couples meeting with us over the summer.
Wow.
And or over this fall. And if one of those couples comes a few times and it doesn't really work out, that's okay. Go find another couple to invite in and bring in. He said, we really want to be about going after the one and finding people who aren't in community and are away from Jesus. And we want to bring them into our community.
Yeah, I really love that. And it can be messy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think just being open to that and knowing that it doesn't always just go perfectly smoothly and there will be bumps along the way and having that expectation on the front end.
That's a good point, because a lot of times when we tell these kind of stories, Molly, we like to tie in a bow and say, she gave her life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Did this happen with your friend?
She did, actually, which is a miracle from on high. Yeah, she did.
What did that experience look like?
It looked messy. It looked messy, and it
how so?
Well, you know, just sitting through conversations, and being patient, and just being loving. And I think a big thing for me was, okay, my goal here is not to change a person. My goal here is to do whatever God has for me in this moment and to say what he wants me to say and to love the way he wants me to love and let him do the rest. Because I want to see everyone know Jesus. I mean, my life, my whole hope is in Christ and I have so much joy in him and he is my best friend. I just want to see other people have that hope. Mm-hmm. And God really helped me in just realizing I can't change somebody, but I can do what he calls me to do. And sometimes that looked like driving across town and going to a grocery store and helping out with, you know, some baby stuff for that week. Sometimes it looked like just listening to things that were really controversial and being patient and peace-filled and looking unshocked so that the person won't run away. And just knowing to be interacting with someone who doesn't think like you, it does not mean that you're changing. Mm-hmm. We are steadfast in the Lord. But it does look messy. Mm-hmm. It can look physically messy. It can look like going to places that you don't normally go. It can It was pretty much messy in many aspects, yeah, in every way. Yeah.
So when you think about talking with somebody who doesn't believe what you believe, has very different thoughts, is that scary to you or is that exciting to you?
So it used to be scary, but now it's exciting because every time that the Lord has used me in people's lives that don't know Him or are in a very different place than churched people, I see Him move in ways that I've never seen. I see myself say things I didn't even know I could say. And I'm like, Lord, You do give us all that we need to do Your will. So I used to be scared, but now I'm excited because I know just His love is seeping out of me as I'm in a relationship with Him. Seeping is a weird word, but it does. People feel it. And then you start waking up thinking, who am I supposed to go up to and love with Your literal love? I'm not mimicking You. You are inside of me making me like You. So it's a really exciting thing.
That's right.
That's such an encouragement to all of us to live that way and with that mindset of just focusing on the fact that Jesus lives in us and that He wants us to love others with His love flowing out from us.
So in this last year with this D group experience, meeting with Catherine and Mallory and some others, when you guys challenge each other to go after and the one and to find somebody and bring them into your group, what have you learned or experienced with God over this last year that makes you a different person now than what you were when you started?
That's a really good question. I have learned that, you know, we picture what it's going to look like when God calls you to something. You know the door is open and you're doing it and you picture what it's going to look like. But many times it looks very different. And sometimes you might think this looks a lot worse than I expected. Sometimes it turns out better than you expected. But God is so sovereign and I have seen Him move in what I deem bad. But it was all in His plan. So I feel so comfortable more comfortable with trials than I did before, and messy than I did before, because the idea of loving and being like Jesus is this like pristine thing. But when you do it, it gets dirty and messy. And I mean, He was controversial at the time with who He was speaking to, the kind of outrageous love He was giving. And He saw everyone the same. It didn't matter where you came from, who you were, what kind of money you made, you were the same. And so I feel like the Lord has just given me more of those eyes to see everyone the same. And it's not about, do I like a person? Are we alike? Well, God likes that person. So here we are.
You know, Amy, Jesus has the power to change lives. And that's what I hear from your story.
Yes.
That's what we want to share with people, that Jesus has the power to change lives. He's changed our lives. And really, when we talk with going after the one, we're sharing how Jesus has changed our lives. We want Jesus to move and to work in their lives too. And when we come to grips with who we are before God, we see our brokenness, we see our need for repentance, we see our need for restoration with God, we see that we become children of God, adopted as sons and daughters before God. We realize this power that Jesus is talking about to change lives, like we have this to share with other people, and we can share this when we open ourselves up to share with other
and
people.
And it can be simple. It sounds so complicated, but it can be simple. Even phone call to somebody that God puts on your heart, like anything can spark a miracle. That's something else I've really been learning.
Well, Molly, thank you for coming on Fellowship Talks and sharing with us today and telling us a little bit more about your story and your D group experience through the good and the hard times with that. And we have a Fellowship Talks t-shirt for you.
It's really cute and soft and handsome for men.
There you go, Molly. Thank you so much for being with us today. Amy, this is a really good conversation.
It really was. Molly, we really appreciate you being here.
Man, I love being here and I love Fellowship. It's my home.
So when you see Molly wearing her Fellowship Talks t-shirt around Fellowship, stop her and tell her that you really enjoyed hearing her story on Fellowship Talks. Thank her for being brave to come on and share her story.
That's right. We'd love to hear your story too.
And Amy, we still have a few more episodes coming out this summer. Remember, this summer we've been releasing episodes every single week for Fellowship Talks. And we have some good episodes coming up. Next week, you're going to be hearing from some missions partners that we have in Argentina. And that's an exciting episode. You're going to want to listen closely. They speak Spanish. We speak English. And we had an interpreter with us. So this is a different episode for Fellowship Talks.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to that next week.
That's right.
So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.